Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
It's time for school. Rock School. With your hosts, Dr. Jo Burns.
And she has this horrible, horrible nasal when she sings. It's terrible. It really is.
And Chad P.
Laugh all you want, because Shirley was the one laughing to the bank.
I'm not laughing, and don't call me Shirley.
Class is in.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is the Rock School Radio Show on the Rock School Radio Network. My name is Joe Burns. Well, it's three stations.
That's right. We're a network.
I'm a professor in the communications department from this here campus, from which we broadcast, Southeastern Louisiana University. Sitting to my immediate right, a former student, one who must learn, nice black shirt.
Thank you.
Yeah, you look gorgeous.
My name is Chad P.
There you are. Hey.
What?
This is a topic that we have been asked numerous times by the local people.
Yes.
When are you going to do a show on New Orleans?
Now.
We are here. New Orleans is the show for this week and next week.
Yes.
And I got to be honest with you, I'm a little bit nervous because...
You're a lot nervous.
Look
You're
at the
sweating
pages.
Bullets.
Look at the pages
There's
I got in front of me.
There's notes all over the studio.
There are so many pages. Normally I do the show with about three pages. This is just strewn before me,
yeah.
And before it's over, I'm going to basically ask you to move because I'm going to need more space.
Folks, you got to understand, I mean, we were asked to do this show numerous times, as Doc said, but we're going by what we know. We're doing the best that we can. So
yeah.
If you happen to disagree with one of the points that we make,
write us.
Please do.
Write us. I've researched this the best I can. Now, the question was, how do you do New Orleans? How in the world do you possibly attack the music of New Orleans and get it out there and tell everybody about it?
Yeah.
Here's how I did it.
Okay.
Rather than just lay it out and here's a song and here's a song and here's a song and here's a song and have no rhyme, no reason between the songs,
mm-hmm.
I put together, as Chad can see it right here, shake the page.
A timeline.
Mm-hmm. And I attempted to basically carry the concept of rock and roll in New Orleans,
mm-hmm.
starting back in
1905,
ladies
Goodness.
And gentlemen.
Yes.
Here's the question. Most of my information comes from Rolling Stone sources and a book by a gentleman named Philip Ennis. It's called The Streams of Rock and Roll, The Seventh Stream.
Uh-huh.
The Seventh Stream is what you're looking for. Now, question. Where did rock and roll begin? Can you even pinpoint it? Or is rock and roll basically a meshing together of many different cities?
I'm sure different people will tell you different things.
I have an idea.
I do too.
I think it started in Memphis. I think Memphis is where it came from.
Mm-hmm.
But it certainly was influenced by other cities, New Orleans being no different.
No doubt, no doubt.
Now, did jazz start in New Orleans?
Well,
maybe, maybe not. It says here in my notes that you can push jazz all the way back to Congo Square in New Orleans, back to 1835. The thing about it is, jazz in New Orleans is a piano-based jazz.
Mm-hmm.
Keep that in mind.
Right, not the horns.
If rock and roll is guitar-based, does that mean New Orleans had rock and roll in it, or was it just influential in starting rock and roll?
Well, I mean, you talk about these different genres, and then you're kind of pinpointing them down to one instrument, and the spectrum gets broader and broader and broader, and everybody can put in their two cents about, well, it came from here because it had this instrument and everything. So the topic is really just, it's anybody's ballgame, so
to
speak.
Let's see if we can't put the first two cents in and narrow it down.
Okay.
If jazz is an element in rock and roll, you should be able to hear it in early jazz, right?
I would think.
In 1905, this is the guy. This is the man who supposedly started jazz, Ferdinand Joseph Lamothe.
Okay.
My guess is you know him as Jelly Roll Morton.
Uh-huh.
This is a real old one. Started playing pianos in brothels. Honest to goodness. This was the first real instance of the New Orleans sound, at least according to my reference work. Jelly Roll Morton, this is the Jelly Roll Blues. Listen, is it rock and roll? Is it jazz? Can you hear it in the rock and roll of today? Jelly Roll Morton, Rock School. But the guy from Accounts Receivable in Sheboygan, Wisconsin, comes to New Orleans to hear. That's the Jelly Roll Blues, Jelly Roll Morton. Did you hear rock and roll in there, yes or no?
I think I did.
I did,
too. I really do.
I hear elements of it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move
forward. Early elements, but it's there.
Yeah, I do, too. I do, too. Let's move forward. It's 1945. According to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame book, this is the day, the year, that rock and roll comes to New Orleans because Cosimo Matassa opens up J&M Studios.
Cosimo Matassa?
Cosimo Matassa opens up J&M Studios, Rampart Street, in the French Quarter in New Orleans, 1945. This is where early rock groups came to record in New Orleans.
Okay.
Nothing fancy. All the guy would do was set the levels to a reasonable setting and then go.
Just go.
It was the space. When they said it was a New Orleans sound, it was literally a New Orleans sound.
They just set up in this room and,
that's
and,
right.
and rolled.
Now, in 1955, he moved it to a larger studio, but it was before 1955 that the sound of rock and roll, or at least New Orleans rock and roll, was set. Again, according to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame book, it was in 1948 that the first rock and roll record popped out of New Orleans and the sound started to be set. Now, most people know this version. Hit it. That's the Honey Drippers, Good Rockin' Tonight. But this was the actual first recording of it. Roy Brown. Born Roy James Brown, New Orleans, Louisiana, 1948. Tried to sell this one to Winoni Harris. He said no, and the guy said, Roy said, nah, you're not going to sing it? I'm going to head down to Cosimo Matassa's place. I'll record it myself. Son of a gun, the first rock and roll hit comes out of New Orleans. It's Good Rockin' Tonight on Rock School.
About a New Orleans sound as you can get.
It really is. You've got that boogie-woogie piano, that heavy, deep bass. And I read in a few places that they talked about the fact that live music in New Orleans had to have a heavier bass to it, and that's why you got the boogie-woogie bass. That, to me, just was a dumb statement because live music anywhere had to be loud. Was it just louder in New Orleans? But
yeah,
okay. All well and good. The next year, the big name comes out. The hit maker comes out. From the Cosimo Matassa studio, but now we've got a new name popping out of New Orleans.
What?
Dave Bartholomew. Dave Bartholomew is a trumpet player and the leader of an R&B group in the late 40s, and he, along with this large group of people here, I'll name them real quick, Earl Palmer, Lee Franken, Frank Fields, Ernest McLean, Justin Adams, Herb Hardesty, William DeCouge, I believe is how that said, and Clarence Ford, they become the house band of Cosimo Matassa's studio, and they become the sound.
Okay.
If you want to record and sound New Orleans, they are the sound. And many people did come and record. As a matter of fact, the biggest name, Little Richard.
Yay.
Leaves Georgia, rolls down here and records. But what were the songs that made all this stand out? Well, in 1949, The Fat Man.
Fats Domino,
you bet, took an old New Orleans traditional tune called Junkers Blues, and he reworks it a little bit. Now listen, a little later on, we're going to hear Lloyd Price's Laudy Miss Claudy and Professor Longhair's Tipitina. Same melody line.
Nah.
Junkers Blues. He turned it around, recorded it for Imperial Records at Cosimo Matassa's J&M Studios once again, and it turned into The Fat Man. The big question is it the first rock and roll record? Ask me.
Is it the first rock and roll record?
No.
Why?
It's piano based.
Oh.
Rock and roll is guitar based.
Oh, okay.
This is the first statement where I will probably be yelled at. But that's my thinking.
Okay.
New Orleans, Rock School. Is it rock and roll? Is it the first rock and roll record?
It's swinging, man. It's swinging.
It is, but is it rock and roll?
Well, it's piano bass. I kind of like the little bass fiddle riff that they got in there. You know, I would go out on a limb and say that is rock and roll. That is early, early rock and roll. I vote yes.
Okay, well, I vote no.
Okay.
I vote no. Let me tell you another few facts about New Orleans that at least came out of the Rock and Roll Encyclopedia.
Okay.
New Orleans had trouble pigeonholing itself. Why would a place wish to be pigeonholed? Why would it want that? Well, because if you don't pigeonhole, you don't have a sound, per se.
All right. There was
a Memphis sound.
Mm-hmm.
There was a Delta Blues sound.
Yeah.
And again, this comes out of the Rock and Roll Encyclopedia. New Orleans was a port city. And because of that, there were so many influences and so many different sounds coming out of it that many times It was almost as if people were forcing to sound a certain way.
Ah.
And according to, again, the source that I talked to, that was also something that helped stop New Orleans from becoming a national force in the same way that Memphis was.
All right.
So, first record, first no, don't know. I make that statement, but then I immediately jump up to 1952 and our timeline of rock and roll right here in New Orleans. Lloyd Price. Somebody had to have the first number one song out of New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
Might as well be Lloyd Price. It was recorded in March of 1952 at the New Orleans Recording Studio for Specialty Records. Went to number one in the R&B chart for 6 weeks. First number one hit for New Orleans.
Cool.
Was immediately covered by Elvis and then 22 times after. Must be a good melody. Same melody as the Fat Man. Yeah. Lordy, Miss Claudie, on Rock School.
Hey, you know what I noticed, Doc?
What's that?
The more in time we are progressing, the later in the years we're getting,
yes,
the songs are getting faster.
Seems that way, doesn't it?
It does.
Maybe it's just the songs I picked, but it does seem that way. Have you ever seen a picture of Lloyd Price?
No.
Oh, he's a bull of a man. He's a monster. I mean, he's a huge, strong, shoulders like a truck. He is a large, large man. There's a wonderful picture of him at some festival, some New Orleans festival, standing there with his father.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, his father is, you know, they're dressed to the nines and all that, and he's sort of waving. He's got a catcher's mitt for a hand. He's just a huge, huge man. When we get back after the break, wouldn't it be nice to be so influential in music that a club is named after you in New Orleans?
Yeah, I'd like that.
I got the guy next. 1 minute, Rock School. This is Rock School as we talk about New Orleans. The question was, well, New Orleans, not any music that comes out of this here city, is there?
None whatsoever.
The question was, how in the world do you do the music of New Orleans? What I've decided to do is put together a timeline.
Yeah.
Starting with Jelly Roll Morton and trying to get as far up as I can, and we are to 1953. Yes.
I got to hand it to you. When you said we were going to do the New Orleans show, I thought for the first time in rock school history, the first three-part show.
No, I could have. I could have easily. But this guy, his name is Henry Roland Byrd, also known as Roy Baldhead Byrd and Fess. My assumption is, though, those who are from the area know him best as Professor Longhair.
I know him.
There you go. His big hit in 1953 was Tipitina.
There's a place called Tipitina's.
Tipitina's. Yeah. Was it really named for Professor Longhair and his song?
I say yes.
Yes, it was for just that purpose. And the whole concept is that this place, Tipitina's, should be used to foster, mentor, and move forward music of New Orleans musicians.
Like a training ground.
You gotta go to the website. They are more than pleased to say that's their purpose. As a matter of fact, there's a walk of fame honoring people who are New Orleans musicians. It's right next to the club. Absolutely beautiful. This guy, is he rock and roll? He says no. He's a combination of rumba, mambo, and calypso. That's his own statement.
Calypso.
Says he could have been bigger, but didn't want to cross over. He states, I wanted to play the music that was good to me.
In other words, I wanted to stay true.
True, right.
True to myself.
So, remained a regional favorite. Could have been much, much bigger. Quick question before we play Tipitina.
Shoot.
Have you been to Tipitina's? Have you seen the logo at least?
Once.
It's a hand that's in sort of a, what would you call it, a tuxedo with a puffy thing, and it's holding a banana.
Okay.
Do you know why it's holding a banana?
No, I can't tell you.
Tipitina's used to be a fruit market.
Get
out
of here.
And there used to be lots and lots of fruit, bananas and peppers and you know, melons and such. And when all was said and done, that's the only thing that's left of that original fruit market logo.
Stay true.
There you go. Professor Longhair, Tipitina, as we do New Orleans, Rock School.
If we would have played this one a while ago and you'd have said, is that rock and roll, I'd have told you no.
No, it's not.
Well, it's, he stays true to himself. He's a calypso.
I don't know that I could do that.
What?
I don't know that I could say, if a record guy came to me and said, sign here, boys, you're going to be big. I don't know that I could say, nah, I'm going to stay here, I'm going to stay regional. I don't think I could do that.
I think that's wonderful.
I think it's wonderful, too. God bless him, good for him, but not me, kids. I think I could do it. Moving forward, 1955, Little Richard makes his way to New Orleans to record Tutti Frutti, and for the first time, major airplay nationally, and there is generally a New Orleans sound that is put out there. What is it? A boogie-woogie bass line, a syncopated up and on top of that, it says here, according to the runs I was listening, or the runs of trivia that I was reading, if Sun Records created rock and roll's treble, New Orleans is responsible for the bass. If anyone is responsible for the use of horns, especially the saxophone, it's Little Richard and Cosimo Matassa, who had J&M Studios right here in the good city of New Orleans. Now, I don't want to play any Little Richard because he's not a native of New Orleans.
No, he came down here after everything started. Beginning.
Right. He heard that sound and said, that's what I want, and he came down. He's actually from Nacom, Georgia. Let's go to 1956.
Okay.
There's this young lady who sings, her Shirley Goodman. She later called herself Shirley Pickley, and Leonard Lee.
Mm-hmm.
And she has this horrible, horrible nasal when she sings. It's terrible. It really is. She was part of this group called Sweetheart of the Blues. It was so bad that this guy from Aladdin Records named Eddie Mesner said, wow, that's not good. If I pair her up with Leonard Lee, I'll make you a bet that distinct voice would be able to create a song that people would remember. He was right. Number one on the R&B, number 20 on the hit charts. How many times have you gone to a party where somebody has said in English or in French, let the good times roll?
All the time.
Shirley and Lee brought the phrase to the United States, let the good times roll. Rock School.
Surely.
Not, you know, not that his is much better, I gotta tell ya.
Yeah, his isn't all that much better.
And the thing about it is, laugh all you want, because Shirley was the one laughing to the bank.
I'm not laughing, and don't call me Shirley.
After that, very good.
Thank you.
I have a question. What is it? An interrogative statement designed to incur knowledge, but that's not important right now. She left after having that hit and a couple little menzas with Leonard Lee. She split out to L.A. She was a backup singer for Sonny and Cher and sang backup on the Stones' Exile on Main Street.
Well, I'm just trying to figure out if the guy could tell how she talked. Why did he say, well, I have to pair her up with someone, you know? Why didn't he just say, hey, you don't sing well, hit the road?
I don't know. Apparently he heard something. You know, she had another hit in the 70s during the disco craze. Play that now. Now let's listen to this, folks. Yeah, don't play it very loud. I want to talk over it, but hit it. This is a hit, also by Shirley, in the 70s. Dig this.
And I want you to know about it. I want you to feel it too. So just listen to me, baby. Can't stop me now.
Isn't that her?
Uh-huh.
My feet want to move. So
all right, that's enough disco. Yeah, she died a month before Katrina.
Really?
Died a month before Katrina.
Wow.
Let's keep moving. We're talking about the music of, well, we missed the half past.
I don't have a stump. I can't stump you in New Orleans.
Let's say hello to our two affiliates. Go ahead.
WESU 88.1 Middletown, Connecticut, and KSCL 91.3 Shreveport, Louisiana.
And by all means, write us an email if you want to. Shoot.
KSLURockSchool@gmail.com. KSLURockSchool@gmail.com.
I know someone's going to be upset at me over this one.
That's all right.
And you know what their main thing is going to be?
What?
It's going to be something like, you know, well, you don't know what you're talking about. I always say, well, I really researched what their thing is. They're going to look at me and then, are you from here? I'm dead. You know, you're from Cleveland, aren't you? Yep, I'm dead.
Yeah.
1956, there were certain songs that hit that were known as novelty songs.
I've heard of novelty songs.
And New Orleans had its share of them. This was, you know, I hate, you know, I'm making finger quotes. This was generally regarded as the first one to come out of New Orleans. And there were a bunch of them. And we're going to play another one later on called Ico Ico that actually knocked the Beatles out of the top spot.
Hmm.
This one was a biggie. 1956, Clarence Frogman Henry actually got his start dressing up like Professor Longhair and going out and playing.
Huh.
Like Professor Longhair. Opened for the Beatles, believe it or not, on 18 of their gigs in the U.S., hit three times on the U.S. R&B chart, but in this one, he sings like a girl, he sings like himself, and he sings like a frog. Honest to goodness.
All three in one.
Ain't got no home. Rock School.
Ooh, ooh, ain't got no home. I know played it wrong. Ain't got... Ooh, 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 ooh.
How do you pitch that song?
Ooh,
okay,
got this
I got a
hit,
tune.
Man.
Yeah.
It's in my brain.
I sing like a girl. I'm sorry. Uh-huh. And then I sing like a frog. Get out of my office. In 1956, a huge hit came out for a guy named Louis Prima. Now, most people, when they hear Louis Prima, do not immediately say, oh, New Orleans. They immediately say probably Las Vegas.
Okay.
Because Louis Prima was a huge player in Las Vegas. The thing about it is, and the reason I'm throwing Louis Prima in right here, other than the fact that it's 1956 and we're going on a timeline, was the fact that Louis Prima was from New Orleans. And he cut his musical teeth playing in the Crescent City. A couple places where he got started, he played with the Irving Fazola band, that was his brother's band, and he was also part of the Pit Band at the Sanger Theater. until he started his own group called the Louis Prima New Orleans Gang and started playing around town. Figured, well, there's this new place out in the desert. I wonder if there's a chance I can play out there. Next thing you know, three shows a day, 6 days a week, and yep. The money started rolling in. I'd have gone too. Now, the question is, you can take the guy out of New Orleans.
You can't take New Orleans out of the guy.
You take the New Orleans out of the guy. This is his biggest hit, or at least the one that most people could probably say, yeah, that's it. And they probably don't know it by him, per se. They probably know it by the Brian Setzer Orchestra. Here's his version. You tell me if this just doesn't sound like transplanted New Orleans. Jump, jive, and wail. Louis Prima, Rock School.
It looks like it's gonna hail. Baby, baby, it looks like it's gonna hail. You better come inside.
Let's go gambling.
Make sure you jive after you jump.
Yeah,
and then wait for the whale.
Louis
Do not
Prima.
Get him out of order.
Man ain't nothing but a male. One good thing about him, he knows how to jive and wail. I wonder if my wife would know that. 1957, aww, ladies and gentlemen. We're moving along as we do the New Orleans show here. I'm trying to keep it as, and I'm trying to pronounce New Orleans correctly. You know, I'm not originally from here, and students would laugh at me, like my first year here.
Yeah.
I called it New Orleans.
No.
And people would stop me and they'd say, no, stop pronouncing it E, New Orleans. Just run it all together. New Orleans. Just run it all together. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying because I know I've done it at least once or twice during the show.
What about the people that say New Orleans?
Yeah. I was also told that if you're a tourist, you get one or two Nawlins.
Uh-huh.
And then we start smacking you.
That's right.
So but I'm trying like crazy.
N-A-W-L-I-N-S.
Yeah, don't do that. There's only a couple people that get to do that, and they have cooking shows on Saturday mornings.
Exactly.
You don't get to do that. So I'm trying like crazy. New Orleans, to get it all straight away.
Mm-hmm.
1957 is what we're up to right now. Huey Piano Smith and the Clowns. This guy, Huey Piano Smith's band, was sort of like the finishing school for all NOLA singers and musicians. Guy started at 15 years old playing in the clubs. Obviously, the rules were slightly less strong back then. He and a guy named Eddie Jones was to play together. Eddie Jones, any idea who he turned out to be?
No.
Guitar Slim.
Really?
Yep. When he turned 21, Huey Piano Smith, he became the piano player in Little Richard's first band for Specialty Records. How'd you like to play the piano for Little Richard?
Okay.
The guy's main instrument. Okay, you're my piano player. Do I have to be good? Yeah, just a touch, yeah. Did a whole lot of stuff with Lloyd Price, and in 1957 forms Huey Piano Smith and the Clowns, gets signed to Specialty Records, has a slew of hits, but this was the first one, and I'll bet most people can do it.
What's wrong with you?
I got the rockin' pneumonia and the boogie-woogie flu on Rock School. Smith and the Clowns from 1957. That's their first big hit for Specialty Records. Also, Johnny Vincent was the guy. He's from Ace Records. He's the guy that did all their production. Speaking of production, a big producer is about to come into New Orleans and set in the 1960s what the sound was that was coming out of this city.
Cool. I want to meet him.
We got to take a break, but when we come back, I'm going to play you one more that has the backing band of Huey Piano Smith and the Clowns, but no one really knows that because the name Frankie Ford is laid over top of it, and I'm going to tell you three little facts about the music of New Orleans, so the next time Mardi Gras is rolling around,
yeah,
you can say to your family who have come down from wherever,
yeah,
this is why, this is why, this is why.
And then your family will look at you and say,
I don't care. Where do I get a hurricane? Back in 1 minute on Rock School. This is Rock School. As we do the music of New Orleans, we're in the first of a twofer show, and we could fill three. It's
not even easily
a question. Here are three quick little facts. When your family comes down for Mardi Gras, maybe you know these facts. Canal Street. You've been on Canal Street.
I'm scared to death of Canal. I can't drive in New Orleans, I'm telling you. I go
down
there.
Oh, I like New Orleans.
Oh, I like it. I didn't say I didn't like it. I'm just scared to drive in it because I'm scared. I'm terrified.
New Orleans is easy to drive in. I don't mean to be rough and tumble, you know, like where I come from. You got to come with me to New York City.
Oh, New York City.
Nobody has any trouble trading paint with you.
No, I will not.
Canal Street, once, believe it or not, the widest street in the world.
Really?
Because there was supposed to be a canal down the middle of it. There you go. It never was actually built. The term Big Easy, where did it come from? Apparently, in the early 1900s, there was a dance hall. And either the dance hall was nicknamed the Big Easy, for various reasons.
Should be.
Or there was an actual dance called the Big Easy. So that's where that term came from. The story of the umbrella. Why do we carry umbrellas? Is it always hot? No, not really. It comes from around 1830 when the community used to play slow spirituals, second line type stuff, when the body was being taken out to the cemetery.
Uh-huh.
After the burial, the umbrellas were brought out and twirled, obviously, to lively music, signaling that the soul of the deceased was now gone in heaven and happiness prevailed. So when your tourist friends come out and say, why this, why this, why this, you got three of them.
Hey.
1959, Frankie Ford, you, me, Gopher, let's go on a sea cruise on Rock School. Now, you're making fun of those horn blasts.
No, I like the boat whistle.
I don't know. You're making fun of them a little bit.
I'm not.
Yeah,
I'm just
you were laughing
gesture.
At them. It's our last break of this here, the first New Orleans show. Who was responsible for putting those horn blasts in there? A new producer, which made his way into Cosimo Matassa's J&M Studios. This guy's name was Alan Toussaint.
Mm-hmm.
He was a musician, a songwriter, a producer, and in the late 1950s and early 1960s, this guy was responsible for generally the sound that came out of this studio and much of the sound that came out of New Orleans because he was making hits.
Okay.
And whoever makes the hits, you know, that's what a hit sounds like.
That's the guy.
Make that sound with me. He wrote for Ernie K. Doe, Irma Thomas. Who are they? Well, we're going to play them starting next week because we're out of time for this week.
Yep.
The Neville Brothers, The Showman, Lee Dorsey. Who are they? We're going to play them next week because we're out of time. In the 70s, you started to hear names like Dr. John coming out working with this guy.
Yep.
Robert Palmer, Lady Marmalade with La Belle, as in Voulez-vous coucher avec moi, ce soir? That's him. He also wrote country, believe it or not. Southern Nights. Glenn Campbell?
Wow.
That's him.
A plethora of talent.
That's
is this
right.
man.
He went into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1998, and his first appearance after Katrina was on The Late Show with Paul Schaefer.
Okay.
I could play some of his older stuff, but to be honest with you, I have an album right after Katrina. It was used to raise money. It's called Our New Orleans, a benefit album for the Gulf Coast.
Mm-hmm.
This is a song that was, I'm not sure it was originally done by the Pointer Sisters, but that's the big hit. It's called Yes We Can, redone by Alan Toussaint. He really was the shaper of the sound in the 60s. So when we start next week, we start in 1961 with Ernie K. Doe. All right?
All right.
All right. My name is Joe Burns. You are?
Chad P.
Class is dismissed.
Now is the time. Now is the time for all good men to get together with one another. Iron out their problems and iron out their quarrels and try to live as brothers and try to find peace within without stepping on